Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the script. And tonight, the spotlight is on New York City. And the honors and the prize money go to Freya Howard of 242 East Tremont Avenue for her prize play, Retreat to Kindness. Starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price. It's in the air already, a warm, tingling excitement that's a sure sign of the approaching holiday season. And that's the time you especially want to look your loveliest, ladies. You want your hair to be soft, lustrous, and flattering. And whether you're just having your hair set or planning a permanent, bring out the natural beauty of your hair with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Tonight, give your hair this simple Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour Treatment. Before shampooing, massage the scalp briskly with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Then steam your hair and scalp thoroughly by wrapping a piping hot towel around your head for several minutes. Wash your hair. Then after the shampoo, smooth on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. This Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour Treatment, used regularly, supplements natural scalp oils, protects you from dry scalp, helps keep your hair soft and shimmering with natural highlights. Condition your hair now for an exquisite holiday hairdo. Give it the Vaseline Hair Tonic Toning Up tonight. That's Vaseline Hair Tonic. Now for the play. The scene is Dr. Christian's familiar office in the old White House on the corner of State Street and the River Road in the town of River's End, USA.
Is Dr. Christian in?
Oh, he should be here any... Jim Bradley, hello! Golly, I didn't recognize you right off. You're a man now.
Jim Bradley it is. And surely at my age I ought to look like a man. How are you, Squirt?
Oh, you're still at it, Jim, huh? You always had a knack for slurring people. Let me see, you called the other kid skinny, gimpy, half-pint, fatso, and punk. Always a flatterer, aren't you?
I take it back, Judy. You're not a squirt at all. Well, you've become a very pretty young woman these past years.
Ah.
You got class to you now.
You have changed since you left town. I never heard you say anything nice to me before. All I can remember is a little monster who used to pull my pigtails when no grown-ups were looking.
I was just like a Peck's bad boy, wasn't I?
Yeah. And now you come back a successful reporter and magazine writer and looking almost human. What brings you back to River's End, a vacation?
Heaven forbid. I never touched a nasty thing. I'm here on an assignment. By the way, is Dr. Christian free now?
An assignment, huh? Here in River's End?
Yes, sir.
I haven't heard of anything important enough to bring a big city reporter here. What's up, Jim?
You know what curiosity once did to a cat, my little kitten?
Oh.
Just go right on with what you were doing. I'm going to go into Dr. Christian's office. I'll wait for him there.
Still the same Jim Bradley who used to dive into the river yelling, "Last one in is a sucker."
Judy, I was just going to...
Oh, good morning, Doctor. Guess who's in your office?
Who?
Jim Bradley.
Well, Jim Bradley. I'll go right in. Hello, Jim Bradley. It's good to see you.
Surprised, huh?
Yes, I am. It's funny that you should come today of all times.
Why?
Well, Bob Patterson, Dr. Patterson, that is, just returned to River's End after a long absence. I'm sure you heard about the successful experiments he's made for the cure of certain mental illnesses. After all, what brings you here, Jim?
Right. I'm planning to write an article on Dr. Patterson.
Oh, that's a good idea. You can give a personal touch to it because you know River's End so intimately. I didn't think the big city papers were sending reporters to cover the testimonial.
They're not. You don't think Patterson's so important I'd come just to write up a Hicktown celebration.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, he's pretty well known throughout the country. After all, he's done some pioneering and research in his field.
Well, I've got my own angle on this. I'm planning to do a bang-up feature story on the doc. When Patterson started to get all this publicity recently, I remembered his old man had been off the beam. We heard the stories when we were kids about how Lon Patterson once ran down Main Street after his wife with a knife in his hand. And they told how he set fire to their house one night after a family quarrel. Also that he finally ended up in an institution for the criminally insane after he killed Rainey the butcher.
What are you driving at, Jim?
Oh, can't you see it? Make a sensational story. How the famous psychiatrist became interested in this subject because of his own unhappy boyhood.
Oh, no, there doesn't seem to be any point in bringing these things up, Jim. They're ancient history. No, not even that. Because Dr. Patterson's mother is still alive. She's a little white-haired old lady now who would be heartbroken if those old stories began to circulate again.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, I tell you. Why, my paper won't be the only one that'll want this article. I'll get it syndicated.
Aren't you afraid of being sued for printing such things, Jim?
Don't worry. I never leave myself wide open. I check all my facts before I print them. The article will be strictly objective. Maybe if some sorehead wrote it, the papers wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But I've got that subtle touch. Make it high tone, educational. You know what I mean.
Is there some old score you're trying to settle with Patterson?
No. Matter of fact, I have nothing against the fellow. I'm a reporter and a darn good one, if I have to admit it myself. And you know why? Because I don't have any of the sentimentality that affects some people.
So that's your mission. You come only to do mischief.
That's not the only reason I'm here. There's something else. You know, Mom died not long after I ran away from home. That's probably the only thing in life I've ever had any regrets about. That I didn't see her before she went. Well, she left a diary, which I was to get when I was 21. Mr. White has it sealed and locked in his bank vault, and I never had the time to come for it before.
I wouldn't have thought you cared enough about a diary to come for it. Doesn't that go under the heading of sentimentality?
Maybe, but it was still my mom's, and I want it.
That's how it is, Judy. Jim insists on doing this muckraking. Why, that young man has a heart made of noose type. I asked him to stop by this afternoon. Maybe I can talk to him some more.
Honestly, that boy should be spanked.
Yeah, he should, but who'll do the job?
I'll see who it is.
Well, Beauty herself.
Yes, but now that you're here, it's Beauty and the Beast. Only it's not a fairy tale anymore, but a horror story.
You know, I like you when you're angry. Your color is so pretty, and there's such a nice ring to your voice. What's eating you, Squirt?
We've been discussing your plans, and Judy is as upset about them as I am.
Of course I'm upset. Dr. Patterson is one of the nicest men in the world. What right have you got to drag him through the mud?
I'm a reporter, not a do-gooder. My story's shaping up fine. I uncovered something really juicy this morning. Did you know that as a boy, Patterson spent a few days in the county jail?
What?
Seems that during a tantrum, the old man was beating his wife and the kid tried to stop him. He was too small to fight with his fist, so he picked up a chair and hit his father on the head with it. There was quite a row and they all ended up in jail.
And you're going to print that? You're going to drag out all those old ghosts?
You can't do it, Jim.
Why can't I? Listen, I told you before, I write what I please about anyone.
Jim, Dr. Patterson is coming to my house for dinner tonight. Judy has promised to join us. Maybe you'd like to come, too.
Oh, Dr. Christian, you can't invite them together.
Why not, Squirt? It's his house. Sure, Doctor, I'll be glad to come.
Fine. We dine at 7 o'clock.
Well, so long. See you later. And please forget about the article. Nothing can make me change my mind about it.
Oh, why did you invite him? He's sure to make Dr. Patterson uncomfortable.
Well, we've got to see what we can do with the boy. Maybe we can still change his mind.
Not a chance. You're wasting your time.
We'll see.
You're wasting your time.
Well, that was a fine dinner, Paul. It's wonderful being back in town. How do you feel about it, Bradley?
Oh, I can take it or leave it alone. Only business could drag me back to the sticks.
Why, Jim Bradley, River's End is a lovely place to live.
You're right, Judy. There's something good about being here. I always think of home as the place where you've left your boyhood.
I guess what you like is coming back a famous man and getting all those honors.
They're well-deserved honors, and the town is giving Dr. Patterson a gold plaque tomorrow night to show how they appreciate him.
That's quite a contrast to the old days, huh, Dr. Patterson?
Oh, it isn't the honors alone that make me like this homecoming. It's more that my roots are planted in River's End.
Well, to me, River's End is just a little pond, and I don't enjoy splashing around in it. Of course, I'm no hero to the people like you are. River's End would never hold any celebrations over the worlds I've conquered.
Your articles are read all over the country.
As a matter of fact, I've read some of them myself. I was quite interested in your series on juvenile delinquency, but one thing bothered me.
What was that?
Is it necessary to cite names and addresses as you do in your youthful study of the youthful gang?
Yes. Don't you do a certain amount of harm when you publish old facts that way?
Why, it adds reality to my articles. That's all that matters. A lot of those kids are bad eggs anyhow. I can't do them any more harm than they've done themselves.
But you yourself reach different conclusions about these youngsters. They're not all hopeless. Besides, you've got to consider their families. Why expose them to unfavorable publicity?
That's what I say. It's cruel and serves no conceivable purpose.
Judy, as a girl, you can be permitted some softness, but Dr. Patterson, you're a scientist, a man who loves the truth. You deal only with facts yourself, so you ought to understand why a reporter insists on going whole hog in a story.
It's not the same thing.
No, I don't know. Take your case, for instance. You're a big shot in the field of psychiatry, but your interest could be traced to your own background. Your father was...
Jim.
Go on, Bradley.
Well, everybody in town knows about your father. It's no secret. Wouldn't it be part of the truth about you to show how your early home influence determined your later work? Your father setting the house on fire. Think of the effect of that on a young, impressionable mind.
Oh, please, Jim.
Don't stop, Bradley.
Well, that's it. Wouldn't an examination of your early childhood give us a key to your later experiment? Wouldn't they be part of a good story about you? A published story, I mean?
They're not essential. You see, the medical profession is interested in my work, not in me. As for the layman, it wouldn't be necessary to bring my father into a story for him.
I agree absolutely on that.
Well, we're only discussing what would make a good article about you, Dr. Patterson. You've got to admit that you were influenced by what happened to you as a child. Take me. My pop died when I was 8, and my mom passed away young, too. I had to battle uphill the whole way through life. Hasn't made me too charitable towards people.
So now you refuse to cast your bread upon the waters unless you know you'll get it back buttered.
Life is a battle. I can't worry if one of my fists pokes into someone else's face. I've also discovered that one of my secret weapons is the ability to hurt people.
You said it.
If I have to use it, I do. See what I mean?
The medical profession wouldn't be interested in an article such as you describe. You'd only be catering to the busybody scandal mongers.
But it'll make an interesting story. If you were hurt, Patterson, well, you'd better toughen up your skin a little. The rhinoceros had the right idea. Tough hide and a thick head.
I guess if it comes down to it, I could take it. It's a person like Mother would die at the thought that these things had become common knowledge. Oh, by the way, Dr. Christian, Mother's expecting you to call on her at the hotel tomorrow afternoon. She was too tired after her trip to come down to dinner tonight.
Oh, I'd be there to see her.
You say it would kill your mother, Patterson. Well, it seems to me if she could live through those tough years, she can stand reading about them now.
You certainly become awfully cynical about people, Jim.
He must have made a thorough study of himself first and then jumped to conclusions about the human race.
Tell me, is this just a friendly discussion, or are you thinking of doing such an article? You speak as though you've been giving this matter serious consideration.
Well, to be frank, I have. That's why I'm in town. Doing a little research. And I want to thank you, Dr. Patterson. You gave me plenty of material tonight. Now, if I could only talk to your mother. Thanks a million, Patterson. Thanks a million.
Well, Mrs. Patterson, it's good to see you. You're looking fine.
I'm glad you came to the hotel to see me, Paul. Robert's always been fond of you.
And everyone in Riverside liked Robert. We're all glad he's been so successful in his work.
Oh, you've all been very kind to us. I'll tell you a secret. I was really afraid to come back here. Not only the trip, which is hard for a woman of my age, but I thought some folks would force me to relive the past. And that didn't happen. So many people have come to call on me. Even Mrs. Rainey, the butcher's widow. seems to me people want to remember the good that was, not the bad. I didn't think so back in the city 2 days ago. I was sure that my coming would bring back everything that's dead and gone. But Robert said no.
He was right.
Yes, I see that now. You know, I have one fear in life, and it's not death I'm afraid of like some people. It's that Robert will somehow be hurt by something he wasn't responsible for. I'd sooner go through anything than have him suffer because of me or his father.
Oh, now I'm sure there's no reason to worry.
When I was younger, I didn't mind what anybody said about my husband or me. We had so little that there was nothing anyone could take away. But now that Robert's gone ahead, there's a lot to be lost. I used to worry all the time about someone trying to hurt us through the past. But River's End has given me new faith in the real goodness of people. Oh, dear, who's that? It's too early for Robert.
I'll go to the door. Where?
Oh, Dr. Christian, you here?
What do you want?
Well, Dr. Patterson mentioned his mother was at the hotel, so I came here for a little chat with her.
Who is it, Paul?
It's me. I wanted to say hello to you.
There's nothing for you to say to her, Jim Bradley.
What is it?
Mrs. Patterson is too tired to have any visitors now. You'd better go, Jim.
Who is it, Paul?
It's Lizzie Bradley's son, Mrs. Patterson. You remember me, don't you?
Lizzie Bradley? Why, of course I do. You're Jimmy, aren't you?
Oh, you have no idea what a tiresome young fellow he is. Come, Jim.
So you're hurting my arm.
Well, there's no need for both of you to go.
Come on, Jim. I'll see you at the meeting tonight, Mrs. Patterson.
Hey, you've got some grip for a man your age. Let go of my arm, will you?
You'd stoop to anything, wouldn't you?
Well, what do you mean?
I know your tricks, Jim, and I don't like them. You stay away from that old lady, do you hear? You stay away.
Well, that was a fine meeting, wasn't it, Dr. Christian?
Yes, Patterson made a magnificent speech when they handed him the plaque. Oh, that man has a big heart as well as a fine mind.
Dr. Christian, did you see Jim Bradley?
No, as far as I could see, he wasn't there.
Probably too busy poking around the dirty linen. He undoubtedly used the time to write his article.
Jim Bradley is still in town, I think, because I met White at the meeting, and he said Jim had come to him this afternoon to get his mother's diary. He took it without so much as a thank you.
Well, here we are, back home.
Yeah. Oh, there was no need for you to come back here, Judy. You put in enough hours for one day. Why don't you run along to your place?
Well, I have to pick up some letters I forgot to mail. One of them ought to go out tonight. Why, the light's on and you're...
Don't be frightened, Judy. It's me. I have something for you and Dr. Christian to read. Here in this package.
Your precious article, I suppose. You're very proud of it, aren't you?
It's the diary my mother kept. She said she had nothing else to leave me, and maybe this would be of more use to me sometime than money, and, well, tonight it was.
Golly, you're not going to publish that, are you?
What are you trying to say, Jim?
Here, Judy, read this page. Mom wrote it shortly before she died. I want to hear it read by a woman, like Mom might have said it to me.
Very well. It was very hard for me to keep up my courage after Jim left home. There didn't seem much left to live for. With my family gone, life was empty, except for one thing, human kindness. I feel it all around me now. But the one I'm most grateful to is Dr. Patterson.
Go on. Read the whole page.
He even tried to make me understand about Jim. I had felt only hurt and anger about that, but Dr. Patterson told me over and over there was something about Jim that needed space. He said River's End was too small for the boy's talents. At first, I didn't see that, but gradually I came to understand. And when Jim finally wrote sending me his address, I never reproached him or asked him to come home.
That's true. But Many a time she must have wanted to.
I hope that those good angels who look after people will pay back Dr. Patterson, as I will never be able to, for my time on Earth is growing short. Thank you, God, for letting it close for me this way, in love with the world and its people.
I've been reading this diary all afternoon, Dr. Christian, and the more I read, the worse I felt, like a complete heel. I think I've been missing something. Can you make up for lost time in these things, Dr. Christian?
The future is very big, Jim.
I suppose it's not too late to start liking people and realizing that what goes on inside them is the most important thing. Well, goodbye, Dr. Christian. I'm going back without my article, but I'm taking along something more important. I guess I've sort of made a retreat to kindness.
I'm glad, Jim.
So long, Squirt. See you again, huh?
Goodbye, Jim. Good luck.
Well, I guess this is a trick he'll always remember.
I wonder. He went out calling me Squirt in the same old way.
Judy, a doctor knows better than anybody that while there's life, there's hope.
The curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you, and charming Judy Price right here to say...
Some of the biggest victories were won not on the battlefield, but in military hospitals. This is particularly true in treating battle burn casualties. A new technique in burn treatment converted thousands of serious burn cases into astonishing recovery. This wonderfully effective new treatment, now being used in leading hospitals, includes the surface application of petroleum jelly. Probably at this very moment, you have the world's leading brand of petroleum jelly, Vaseline petroleum jelly, in your medicine cabinet right now. So when any member of your family gets a minor burn, as happens so frequently, reach for a tested, reliable aid, Vaseline petroleum jelly. Just spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. But remember, there's nothing better for household burns than Vaseline petroleum jelly. There are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. Tonight's prize play was by Freya Howard of New York City. She is an experienced radio scriptwriter, but as she says, this is her first time that she's taken a prize in a writing competition. Now, here's a message from your government suggesting that those of you who wish to give Christmas gifts to hospitalized servicemen, check with your local Red Cross to learn what type of gifts will be most appropriate and desirable. Next week, we present a new prize play called Girl Trouble by Mrs. Dana M. Stevens of Charlotte, North Carolina. So we invite you all to listen again next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Of all good tips for cracked, chapped lips, the best is Vaseline Lip Eyes. Healing begins almost instantly. 10 or 25 cents at drugstores. For quick relief, quick healing, ask for Vaseline Lip Ice. Listen to Girl Trouble, next week's Dr. Christian play without fail. Especially recommended to parents and boys and girls. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Lip Ice.